Pastor Don, it's great to be here. I mean that sincerely. I have always enjoyed when I visited here, and I have visited at times. Doc was a very dear friend, and we so much appreciated his ministry and looked and watched as God brought Don and Lynn here and how God orchestrated all that. It was just a blessing on the outside looking in and seeing God's hand in that. And it's just a delight to be with you tonight. The Lord has given us an assignment, has he not? We know the Great Commission is found in all four Gospels in one form or another, and even in the book of Acts, it opens up with that same challenge. In Matthew 28, we have what for us are probably the most familiar words of the Great Commission, where we're told to go and make disciples. And we know that the singular challenge for us is to make disciples. The Lord knew that we would always be going. We are people who go. We get up in the morning, and where are we going to go today? You know, we go somewhere. As I show some slides tonight, you'll see you may not go where I go, but you go. And we are to be conscious of the fact that there are lost people all about us, and the Lord wants us to be a testimony and a witness. And I want you to see tonight that, in fact, our brothers and sisters in other places of the world have taken ownership of that same commandment. And they have responded to the assignment of the Great Commission. And I believe it'll be a blessing to you and an encouragement as you see how the Lord is working in various places, because the same Lord who is working there is working here. The same gospel that is the power of God unto salvation, when it's preached to Hindus or to Muslims or to Buddhists or to those who practice voodoo, is the same gospel that transforms the heart and the life of the believer here in Towanda and those who come to Christ. And so we praise God for that, and it's just a privilege for me to be able to share some of that with you. Let me introduce my wife to you. She's not here, but Deb has been a part of my life for 47 years, and not only as my sweetheart, but my partner in ministry. And she serves right now as the administrative assistant for the Regular Baptist International. So we really do work hand in glove together. The Lord gave us four children, and by God's grace, they're all walking with the Lord and serving him. We now have 13 grandchildren, and all that means is that's the reason for all this, you know. I praise God for what he's doing through our family, and I encourage you, whether your kids are walking with God or if they have made some other decisions and are walking away at the time, our kids need our prayers. Every day they need our prayers. And I know you don't need that exhortation, but I just encourage you along that line. The General Association of Regular Baptist Churches has several affiliated ministries that are a part of our association. And as you see up on the screen here, there it is. Okay, this icon here represents the churches, the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches. If you called the office today, and they would answer Regular Baptist Ministries, because it includes all of the ministries, but the GRBC is the Association of Churches, and then you have here this red dot, which the red icon, which is Regular Baptist Chaplaincy, and then skip over to the orange one there, that's Regular Baptist Church Planting, I'm sorry, Regular Baptist Builders Club. And then in the blue or the purple, it's Regular Baptist Church Planters. On your far right, Regular Baptist Press. And right in the middle there is the one we want to talk to you about tonight, and that's Regular Baptist International. And Regular Baptist International actually has two ministries as part of it. As Pastor Don alluded to, Gospel Literature Services is now called Regular Baptist Press International, RBPI. And the other ministry is our partnership, and I'll talk to you about that in a moment. The mission, the what of Regular Baptist Press International. Our mission is to supply biblical resources worldwide. That's the what. That's what we do. We come alongside churches around the world where they do not have educational resources, they don't have Sunday school material, they don't have vacation Bible school material, they don't have adequate material for evangelism, discipleship. We come alongside and we supply that for free because many of these churches are in developing countries. They do not have a financial base to be able to purchase this. So that's the what. The why, as the statement continues, to enable developing Baptist ministries to do what God's called the church to do. Fulfill the Great Commission. You with me? All right. Later on the evening, if you're doing this, I won't assume you're with me. Okay. RBPI is able to do what we do because we have a partnership with Regular Baptist Press. Back in 1973, Regular Baptist Press said, here's what we'll do to help our missionary and national churches. We're going to start producing 10% over what we intend to sell. Now, if you're a good businessman, you're going, that's not going to work very well. Well, it's not a business model. It was a ministry model. And they would give the extra to Gospel Literature Services to be the international distribution arm for RBP. When I came on board in this ministry in 2006, we were sending out 3.5 tons of Sunday school material every quarter into 40 countries. I don't know if you can visualize the pallets of material that 3.5 tons represents being shipped into 40 countries. And it was costing us at that time about $7,000 a quarter to do that. Well, you know what's happened in the economy. You know how costs just keep climbing. And as the director of that ministry, I have, first of all, the responsibility to raise the funds, to make sure that shipping goes on, continues, but also the responsibility of stewardship. How do we do this in the best possible way? So as the costs continue to escalate, I surveyed all of our users around the world, and I said, suppose we were to take the two largest Sunday school classes, the primary and the junior, because they order so much material in those two departments of not only teachers' manuals, but the student manuals. I said, suppose we were to put those on a CD. Teachers' manuals, student manuals, take-home papers, activity sheets, visuals, everything, and gave you permission to copy. Could you do that? And 80% said yes. So we developed a new model, and we started sending that out. Now, not everybody could do it, and some who thought they could later came back and said, nah, it's not working for us. But we, instead of sending out 3.5 tons, we reduced it to 1.5 tons. Now, if we were doing today what we were doing in 2006, sending 3.5 tons a quarter, the cost would be $25,000 a quarter. That's how much it's gone up in the last 11 years. When we moved to this model, we reduced it down to 1.5 tons, and we brought the cost back to $7,000, which was a great blessing. And it gave the opportunity to expand the ministry as well. But our dream went beyond passing it out on CDs. We live in a digital age. And besides that, why not print it over there? Why ship it all? Could we open up a Regular Baptist Press International in another location? Just last year, we opened RBPI India Division. And we're now printing our Vacation Bible School material in India, distributing it throughout India, and in time, we'll be able to distribute throughout Asia from that location. And the next couple of years, we'll move them from VBS into Sunday school material also. But we're in the kind of the pilot stage right now. And I praise God for what for the way he's working in that. Here was the first church in India to use it as it was printed in India. They had, by the end of the week, they had 900 kids in VBS. And 150 had made professions of faith in Christ. And when I heard that, I said, yes! Affirmation. Knowing full well the gospel hasn't changed, but to print it there and to see it working and the churches using was a tremendous blessing. And we see that will only expand. Last October, I was in Hong Kong. Hong Kong, by the way, is a city where people literally live on top of each other in these high-rise apartment complexes. I, in fact, stood in my hotel room, which was on the 28th floor, looked in one direction, and I counted 41 high-rise apartment complexes, all of them 35 stories high. That's the cap of the city. In one purview, there I could see all of that. It's an amazing place. But my purpose in going there was to investigate the possibility of RBPI China Division. And so I met with pastors, asked them about what resources they had in Chinese, asked them what if they were interested in resources in English or in Chinese. I met with bookstore managers. I met with publishers. And I had sample materials with me. I said, we're not here to compete. We're not here to duplicate. But if we can supplement, if there's something that you see that we have that you think would be valuable to you, let's see if we can provide it. So they looked through our material. We have a new product. You may not even know about it yet. It's called Kids for Truth. You familiar with that, Pastor Ron? We acquired Kids for Truth just a couple years back, and it is a theology for kids set up in a club program. It's kind of set up like a catechism. The kids learn the question, you know, what is inspiration? They learn the answer, and then they learn the Bible verse. And it takes them through 10 major doctrines in 2 years. When we shared that particular program, we had, first of all, we had a publisher say, whoa, we have nothing like that. And what we heard from pastors was, we have a lot of children that have made professions of faith, but they really don't understand the scriptures, and we don't have the resources to help them. And that product rang a bell there. And here's what they asked. They said, could you produce it in a side-by-side Chinese-English parallel edition? I said, well, that would be a challenge, but we're up to the challenge. If that's the way that you need to, it would be best to use it. And so, as we began to talk about, this group of people. Now, this is a picture I can show to you, but I can't put it on the internet. These are folks from a Baptist church in Shanghai. They saw the material and they said, that's it. We as a church will take the responsibility of doing all the translation work. We will donate our time. This is so needful for our kids. And this group that you see on the screen are professional people that are part of that church. They understand English, they understand their language, and they said, we will do it. Well, they've already completed the first 6 books the first year, and they're well into the second year. And in 3 weeks, I'll meet with them in Shanghai and to see the progress, talk to them about it, and to say, sick 'em, You know, keep at it. We praise God for what He's doing there, and looking forward to, first of all, in Hong Kong, there are 1,200 evangelical churches. Now, they're not all of our stripe, but 1,200 gospel-preaching churches in Hong Kong. In Hong Kong, you don't have to give them the material. They're not a third world. They can purchase it. But what we're doing to challenge them is all of the proceeds that come from their purchases, we're going to keep in a reserve, and it will become a missionary fund to take the same material and distribute it for free among the house churches on the mainland. And the people in Hong Kong, they have a great burden for their people on the mainland. And so we think that this here will be a great blessing to them as they see the value of it to them and also the vision of distributing it around the world. Now, one quick caveat here, one thing we're praying about. We need to get an ISBN number on this material so that it's not contraband on mainland China. I met with a publisher in Beijing who said, here's what happened when I tried to publish Awana material. He said, I took the first book, I presented it to the government for an ISBN number. It was immediately censored. They sent back and said no. So he said, I did a little tweaking and I resubmitted and they sent it right back. No, censor. And then ultimately, he left all the Bible verses written out, but he took out all the references. He said, I'm not sure whether they didn't know where these that these were verses out of the Bible. I'm not sure. But with all the references gone, they gave an ISBN number. And so he now publishes all of the Awana material without references, but with the verses written out. The kids are learning the verses. And God's word is what changes hearts. And so we may have to go through some similar process, but if you can get an ISBN number, then when it's picked up by the state police over there, this has been okayed by the government. It's no longer contraband. So that's a prayer request that we'll be able to do that. Let me introduce you to these two ladies. One on the right is a pastor's daughter. Her name is Grace. Next to her is her cousin Pet. And they have been our translators to translate RBP material into the Thai language in Thailand. I met them the first time in Bangkok and saw what they were doing. They were just starting and we raised some funds, sent each of them a new computer to help them with translation work. And can you imagine trying to do a word hunt in another language? You know, you find it, we have it in English and it's the words this way or this way or this way. Well, they took it and they adapted it and there it is for the kids in Thailand, word hunt. I commend them for the great commitment they've made to get the material into their language. I was in Bangkok a few years after I had met them and they had finished a lot of the work. And I asked them if they would come to a international conference I was hosting in Bangkok and display what they had done. So they did. And these folks walked by. Now this man on the right, his name is Thong Zemung, and with him are two of his kids. Thong Zemung walked up to that table. He's from Myanmar. He speaks Burmese. He picked up this Sunday school material in Thai. He doesn't read Thai. He doesn't have any idea what he's looking at. But he's just thumbing through. And he starts asking, I don't understand, what is this? They said, this is Sunday school material. It's printed in the U.S., Regular Baptist Press. But we've translated it into our language. You could almost see the wheels turning. He's going like this. And in a very deliberate motion, he put it down and he said, That's exactly what we need to do. We need to translate the Sunday school material into our language. And he turned to his two kids and he said, "You're it." And they became translators. And about a year later, I grabbed this picture. He's standing with the original, and she's got the first copy of Primary Sunday School Teacher's Manual in the Burmese language for the churches in Myanmar. I was hosting a conference in North India, and these folks from South India came. This is Pastor John Sakali, and next to him on the left is his son Prasad. At that conference, Prasad responded to God's call in his life for ministry. And he came up to me afterwards, and he said, "Brother Hindle," he says, I think I know what God wants me to do." I said, "Wonderful, Prasad, what is it?" He said, "I think God wants me to translate Sunday school material into our language." How many of you have heard of Telugu? Yeah, you know what? That's the usual response. You might be interested to know that 84 million people speak Telugu. It's an Indian language. You see, in India, they have 28 states, and every state has its own language. So that would mean if you crossed into New York, they'd be speaking a different language. So there's really not a United States of India, because they can't communicate with each other. But Telugu is spoken in the state of Andhra Pradesh. This is what Prasad did. He rented a room. He says, "Oh, it's about 10 kilometers from my house." And he said, I got three translators, three besides myself, and we rented this room for 90 days. I said, "Well, how did it go?" He says, "This is how we did it. We start translating at daylight, and we translate till darkness, lie down on the floor and go to sleep, get up in the morning and translate from daylight to darkness and lie down on the floor and go to sleep." And they did that 90 days straight. And at the end of 90 days, they had completed one full year of Sunday school material for the primary age children. You see, when you're translating Sunday school, there are lots of parts. You got teacher's manuals, student manuals, visual captions, take-home papers, activity sheets. It's a lot. It's not like translating a book. But they were committed to doing that. And what we do for our translators is we send them the raw files, the native files. So there's a photo like this. And that doesn't work in India. You know, American boy playing baseball, that doesn't translate at all. But because we send them the raw files, they can swap out the photo. And they put in a photo like this, a kid playing cricket on the street. Now that they can identify with. So they contextualize the material. They also are able to take out some of the discussion questions that don't seem to relate to them and rewrite them. The lesson itself is in a PDF file that can't be changed. And so they rework the material so it fits their culture. And this was their cover that they designed for the primary teacher's manual. I love what they did. It looks like it came right out of their country, like they did, and they did do it. Prasad said to me, he said, "Well, we got over one hurdle, but we got another one." I said, "Okay, brother, lay it on me. What are we talking about?" He said, "Our teachers have never taught using curriculum." And he says, "I'm afraid what's going to happen is if I just give them this material, they'll try it a week or two or three, and then they'll just lay it aside and go back and do what they've always done because they don't know how to use it." Prasad, on his own, with no prodding from anybody, put together a one-day teacher training course, contacts the churches throughout the state of Andhra Pradesh, and said, "I have Sunday school material in our language. And I will come to your church and do a teacher training. And for those who come, I will give them the material." Well, he has trained 1,886 teachers. About 4 months ago, I released another $5,000 to him to print another 1,000 packets of material, and he's committed to teaching 1,000 more teachers. So praise God, right? God's doing a great work through his humble servants in other places around the world. We have portions of RBP material in these nine languages, portions. And we continue to add as people in that country says, we need this, and we'll translate, and we'll help, and we'll continue to add to that. This pastor, Pastor Lunsai, he's from the Thadu Kuki tribe in northeast India, and he read Dr. Paul Jackson's book, an old book called The Doctrine and Administration of the Church. He read it, and he said, our pastors need this. He said, our pastors have been trained in the Bible, but they really do not know how to administer a Baptist church. They don't understand Baptist polity. They just don't get it. And so he translated this book into Thadu Kuki. And I'm sure Dr. Jackson had no clue, except from heaven, that how valuable this would be. And then we provided some funds to have it published there in the Thadu Kuki language. Prasad has also come across that book. He's now translated that same book into Telugu. And the whole project for him will be $12,000 to complete the project. We've raised nine. I need $3,000 more to complete that, to provide Dr. Jackson's book to the pastors, Baptist pastors in Andhra Pradesh. And I don't know who to appeal to other than Baptist folks. Nobody else cares about Baptist polity, okay? But we need to complete that project, and perhaps God will lay that on somebody's heart to help us with that. In our RBP material, in our Vacation Bible School material, we always suggest a project. Every church is independent and decides what they're going to do with their offering. But we just make a suggestion. And typically, in the course of a summer, there'll be churches across America that will adopt the project, and we would normally get somewhere between $25,000 and $40,000. A church over here with a very small little VBS has a week's offering of $60, but they designate it for the offering project. And a church has a large VBS, and they have $800, and they designate it. And this is one of those, together we can accomplish more. When you focus on a project. So Operation Bangladesh was the project suggestion. There's a section of Bangladesh called the Hill Track section that's been closed to foreigners for all the years that I remember. Years ago, our missionaries in Bangladesh trained Bangladeshi evangelists and sent them into the hills. Today there are 240 churches in the hills without no American influence. It's very, very cool to see what God's been doing in the hills. I was there and I went with a Bangladeshi brother and we appealed to the government and they gave me a one-day pass to go into the hill tracks. They said, we have not allowed any foreigners in for 1 year, but we're going to give you 1 day pass. Well, you can't get very far in 1 day, but I was able to preach in three of their churches, meet with two of their Christian schools, and the Christian schools are like hostels in that the kids have to stay there at the school. The hills are such that you just can't go back and forth. So this is one of the locations back in the hill tracks. You can see the classroom. And I went and visited on the boys' side. So the boys took me into their room. Now I knew that they knew I was coming because no boys' room is this neat. Okay? But conspicuously absent are beds. The boys sleep on the concrete on a blanket. In the cold, rainy season, the cold just comes right up through the concrete into their bodies. They typically get sick. They're in close quarters. Everybody gets sick. So we saw that as a need as far as their quality of life. And one of the things we earmarked for our VBS project was the Christian schools in the Hill Tracks. And so we sent them money. They did the construction. They built 180 beds in three different locations. And that gets them off the floor. Apparently, sleeping on the wood is not a problem, but it gets them off the floor, and that was the main objective. We also saw that they had need for outdoor toilets, three different locations. We built two of these. We put some solar panels on some roofs, and you can look inside now in this classroom, and you see the lights are on. I think they staged the picture. They don't go to school at night, but anyway. It allows these kids to have activities at night. It allows them to study at night, whatever they choose to do, but it extends their day and extends their quality of life. And so what I love about these projects is that these are gifts from kids to kids. You see, kids in America giving so that kids in other places can benefit. And I think it's great. We did Operation Books this year, and it was designated for textbooks and libraries in these Christian schools around the world because their textbooks look like this, you know, used over and over and over again, year after year. And so helping them with that helps their education. Here's Vacation Bible School in Northeast India. They get a few kids, see them on the ground, see them up in the balcony. They're using Regular Baptist Press Sunday School material. Great blessing to see that. Here's the VBS staff in Durban, South Africa. And there's some of the kids. They call it Holiday Bible Club. It's exactly the same thing. Let me take you to the Philippines. Some of you perhaps read some articles on the Philippines in recent days where there's been a lot of Islamic activity, particularly in the South Island. You see on your screen on the right, Mindanao. That's where most of the Islamic activity takes place. Now, my wife and I were there in Mindanao, met with this young couple. He's an entrepreneurial businessman named Danny. His wife, Ruth, is the administrator of the hospital in the region. And they shared with us their story, and they said, we're part of Bethel Baptist Church in Malaybalay. It's in the Bukidnon region of Mindanao. And they said, we have a great church. We have youth programs. We have children's material, children's clubs. We have a choir. We just have a great ministry, and we're just so comfortable in our church. And then they said this, we were too comfortable. So I'm listening. They were too comfortable. So they said, we went to our pastor and we said, you know, there are kids in the rural sections of Mindanao and there's no opportunity to reach them. My wife and I would like to go out and do a VBS in the rural region of Mindanao. With the blessing of the pastor and the church, they went out and they discovered there were kids walking for 2 hours down trails to come to VBS. And they're using RBP material. They got their headbands on and so forth. Kids are meeting in various places. Go back here. And the postscript to that story is, they did the VBS, then in the fall they started a Sunday school, and now the church has been planted. Because there's a couple sitting in the church, sensitive to God, and God's telling them, you're too comfortable. It should be an alert to all of us to be sensitive to what God wants us to do and where and how He wants us to do it. Let me share with you a little bit about the partnership. I know that there's a reason why there's not a clock in here, but it's right here, but it's I see it stopped. Okay. In 1999, the JRBC, at an annual conference, the messengers voted to investigate the possibility of establishing an international partnership with associations of independent Baptist churches around the world. You see, we've been supporting missionaries for 80-plus years. The gospel's been fruitful. Churches have been established. And in many countries, they have formed their own associations. So we began to look around the world to find associations that, number one, were committed to biblical truth. We would have a common doctrinal statement. Number two, separated from the charismatics, separated from liberals. Number three, committed to the Great Commission assignment. And praise God, there are people like us. As Pastor Don said, there are people like us all over the world. This graphic shows you where we now have partners. We have 62 partnering associations in 20 countries, and it represents 10,000 local churches. So part of my role is simply to be the liaison for the JRBC to the partnership. And they are gracious, and they invite me to speak in their annual meetings and to come and do pastoral training and deacon training and various kinds of things within the partnership. So I want to show you a few of these, introduce you to a few of these. We'll go to India. What's wrong with that picture? Yeah. India, the cow is sacred. They believe in reincarnation. So the cow wanders into the bookstore, lies down, and no one will shoo it out. No, because you don't know who it was. No, might have been your grandmother. That cow will lie down in the busiest street in Calcutta, and all the traffic will go around it. No one will get out of their car and shoo it to the side. It's a religion that is blind. 330 million gods in Hinduism. My wife took this picture as we slowly drove by this stand where you can buy the elephant god. But if you buy this god and take it home with you, now the god is your responsibility. You need to make sure you put it in a safe place where the kids or grandkids are not going to knock it over and break it. I mean, you don't want to break your god. You need to keep it dusted, ladies. Don't want to let a spider build a web in your god. That'd be awful. When you're cooking, you ought to bring some food to the god and keep him happy. You see how blind this is? Isn't it wonderful to know the God who takes care of us, not a God we have to take care of? Okay, but that's Hindu religion. Let me introduce you to Pastor H.C. Stephen. He's pastoring up in a place called Churchanpur, northeast India. And that association sent out this couple as their missionaries to Nepal. This is Gauri Tamang and his wife. They serve in Kathmandu, Nepal. And they are sent out by that association. Underscore in your mind, we're not the only ones sending out missionaries. Other church fellowships have taken ownership of the Great Commission assignment, and they're sending missionaries out as well. Not only church planters in their own country, but into bordering countries. And I praise God for that. They're baptizing believers there in Nepal and planting churches. Northeast India, this is a village called None. I met this young couple, pastor and his wife, Pastor Pusiam. He took me out on the edge of the village. They had just acquired this property, bare property, and he begins to share with me his vision. He says, I've been preaching in None for a while, and there have been no decisions. He said, it seems like the adult community is completely closed to the gospel. And I believe God's laid on my heart that we're going to have to raise up a generation of believers here. So he says, and he said, I've observed we got a lot of orphans. So he said, I'm asking God on this piece of property to enable me to build a building. Now, I said, in my mind, it's a long building. On one end, there will be a boys' dormitory for orphan boys. On the other end will be a girls' dormitory. There's going to be classroom place because we're going to start a Christian school with and educate these kids with a biblical worldview. And in the middle, there's got to be an auditorium because this is a place I also want to start a local church. And he says, and I'm going to use this building to start a Bible college. I'm saying, a Bible college? There aren't any believers here yet. Oh, but God's going to save some of these boys and they're going to be called into ministry. So I've got to be ready with a Bible college to train them to be pastors. So here's a young couple and he's got this huge vision and we're standing on this bare piece of property. Well, about a year later, I got an email from him. It was starting to happen. And about 6 months after that, I got another email. And there it was. What he had described for me in his mind was now on that piece of property. Let me introduce you to his student body. 840 students, one by one, coming to Christ as they're confronted with the gospel, being educated with a biblical worldview. God is working. This is a place called None, but it is on the heart of God. This brother here, his name is Chatla Deva Shahayam, and his wife Saguna, invited me to come to their ministry, preach in their church, dressed me up like an Indian. And let me show you a little cultural differences. First of all, they sit on the floor on mats. No pews, no chairs. They come into church and they take their shoes off before they enter the building. So there were about 750 there that morning. So there's 1,500 shoes right outside your front door. I like count down three windows and put mine there, you know, so you can find them. Service time starts at noon and on Sunday and it goes to 4:00. Now, all the ladies and children are sitting on this side. All the men will be on this side. They're sitting cross-legged on the floor. Between noon and 4, they basically don't move. Cross-legged. Now, Pastor Don, if I sat cross-legged for 4 hours, I couldn't move either. But they are there to hear the Word of God. If I were to go, now I know better than this, but if I were to stand up and preach for 30 minutes and sit down, they would call the song leader up who would sing a couple songs, and then they would call me up for another message because they're not ready to go home. They're there to hear the Word of God. It is precious to see their hunger for God's truth. This was their 60th association conference, 60th year. The conference was between Christmas and New Year's. Now, this picture is taken on the center section of a three-section auditorium. Again, they're seated on the floor. There are 3,000 people there. Brother Chatla said to me, he said, now tomorrow night is New Year's Eve. He said, there'll be a lot more people come. He said, we'll never be able to get them in this building. So he put up two large tents, like circus tents, outside. And Friday night, they put 1,000 in each tent and 3,000 in the building. So that night, I preached to 5,000. But you know, that's not what impacted me. What impacted me was praying in the new year with 5,000 former Hindus. Praise God. He's doing a work in a very dark continent. But God is at work, and we praise Him for that. Liberia, West Africa, Rwanda to Tanzania in East Africa. I'm standing under the welcome arch for the Easter conference. And behind it is the place where we're going to meet. It's made out of bamboo and palm fronds. And you go in, and don't you ever complain about your seating here. Okay? They sat for 3 days on these bamboo benches. And a wonderful congregation of people came together for that Easter conference. About 350 people. And to the glory of God, 10 profess faith in Christ. That was speaking through translators, two translators. I would preach, this guy would translate, then this guy would translate from what he said. And I'm like, is it my turn yet? Are you guys done? We call them interrupters. But God was at work. My wife also, we did breakout sessions for the ladies. She did some teaching to the ladies. She had these two ladies translating. You see the lady in the green, a pastor's daughter, a pastor's wife. We were there in April. By August, she was in heaven. Ebola had swept through the country. Pastor George is on a motorcycle that we purchased for him. We've done 9 of them in recent days. These are pastors that serve in the bush. They have no other way, no other means of getting around. You either have to walk or you have to try to bicycle in these trails, or you provide a motorcycle, which is a great help to them. Most of them pastor multiple congregations. I'm being met in the airport in Kigali, Rwanda, by Pastor Emmanuel Ndolimana. And he took my wife and I from border to border across Rwanda, very small country. We met with several different congregations, had the opportunity to encourage them in the word. He's talking to me about their church planting goals. He said, oh, our association here has a goal of planting 10 churches a year in Rwanda. My mouth is dropped open. 10 churches every year. By the way, last year they planted 11. That's commitment. That is commitment to the Great Commission assignment of sharing Christ. I praise God for what they're doing. The man on the right, his name is Ajwano Naftali. He's a pastor in Tanzania. I met him the first time on the border of Kenya. Never ever expected to be where he pastors, in the bush of Tanzania. But God worked it out. You come to the end of the road, and at that point you have to walk. So we walked back into his village and found out that he had planted 8 churches since 1965 in the bush there, in the villages around him. They'd started a Christian school. They had no Christian school building. They were meeting under mango trees. It doesn't work during the rainy season. And so we talked with them, we prayed with them, and the end result was we, as a partnership, took that project on. And there's now their Christian school that was built, and we assisted them. They had to do all the work. We just simply assisted them, and we praise God. They're now using that as a Christian school in the bush of Tanzania, and these kids are learning again who God is and a biblical worldview in their education. We do conferences in a lot of locations. I'm going to be, 2 weeks from today, I'll be preaching in Indianapolis to a Chin congregation from Myanmar. There are 5,000 Chin that live in Indianapolis, and we're expecting 200 to 300 believers together for a 3-day conference. And I'm going to have the opportunity to speak to them. Many of them still do not speak English, and so it will be translated. But I'm excited about ministering to the Chin in our own country. This is a picture, actually, for the Chin, where I did a conference for the Chin in Malaysia. Chin people that have migrated to Malaysia. It was in Kuala Lumpur. This is in India, a couple different locations. I got pictures. And then also in Ghana, West Africa. Every 4 years, we do a world conference, an all-partners conference. We started in 2009. We did it in Bangkok. We repeated it in 2013 in Bangkok. It was just a great venue. This is the year again, and the end of the first part of November, November 6 to 10, we'll do the conference just outside Manila, Philippines. It'll be our all-partners conference. And I tell you that because what I'm going to tell you right now. I'm asking the question, how can your church help the international ministries? Now, having asked the question, let me say thank you to Independent Baptist Church in Towanda for supporting the ministry Gospel Literature Services for many, many years, very generously, and I'm serious. We're debtors to you for that support, and rely upon it for your church and churches like you who support the ministry. The partnership continues to expand, and one of the ways you can pray for Regular Baptist International is to pray for us, but to do that, you have to stay informed. You know, it's very hard to pray when you don't know what's going on. So one of the things I would encourage you to do is to go to our website. It's not a static website. Every week, there are new reports of what God's doing around the world through our partnership. So if you go to that website, you will get see things to pray about. I'll show you that in just a moment. But I'm looking also for more partners. I'm looking for churches like yours who would take on the Regular Baptist International and monthly support and saying, you know, this is our association and this is our ministry. We need to get behind it. And I'm thankful that churches, many different churches, have taken on the support. I also, right now, am looking for individuals who would like to have a personal investment in Regular Baptist International. And here's what I'm looking for right now, are individuals who will support a scholarship fund. The scholarship is for travel scholarships for pastors to attend the conferences. They do not have the funds to get there. Sometimes I have to provide the food for everyone in the conference because they don't have the money. And so I would use scholarship funds to not only provide for their arrival, but for the conference while they're there. And so I look for individuals who would say, you know, I could do that, $600 a year, one-time gift, or $150 a quarter, $50 a month, however. I'd like to have a personal connection there. And you don't do that with tithes. That's something, those are discretionary funds. But if God lays something like that on your heart, that would be wonderful also. Here's our website, garbcinternational.org. When I'm with older people, I see them going, G-A-R-B. And then I'm with young people, you know what I see? All the phones go up, they go click, and they have it. I'm like, oh yeah, that's how they do it these days. But I'd encourage you to go to that website because it is, in fact, next week, you'll see a write-up about my being at Independent Baptist Church in Towanda. And it'll be on that website. So go find yourself, okay? It's all about this. It's all about the Great Commission assignment God's given to us. Let me encourage you as an individual to pray that God will give you opportunity to have spiritual conversations with people that are lost. It's an amazing thing to me. When I pray for those, I get so many more opportunities. And when I'm not praying, it doesn't seem like I get them. Is that strange? Yeah, not at all, is it? So I'd encourage you to pray. God, give me an opportunity to have a spiritual conversation with somebody that's lost. And you may have to say, God, take away the fear. And you may have to say, God, give me the words, because I'm not sure how to do that. And you may have to say, God, you open up the door, because I don't know how to open it. God knows all about that. But when you get serious and pray for opportunities, you'll see that God will provide those for you as well. God bless you. Thank you again for your support.